Chapter 4. Shame and Addiction. It is difficult to discuss addiction without addressing one of its primary root causes, shame. Shame often becomes equated with guilt, but they are very different. Guilt is a healthy emotion that corresponds to knowing that you may have made a mistake or made a bad choice. Guilt is a feeling that you can learn from, grow from, and create a new narrative that comes from an emotional experience about your choices. An example would be, I lied to my best friend, and I feel guilty. Those feelings of guilt actually helped me approach them and tell them the truth, even though it was a difficult undertaking. I felt relieved afterwards. Guilt can lead to being open and vulnerable with ourselves and others. It can lead to change and growth because it allows you to be human and show your vulnerability. With guilt, you are addressing or changing your behavior and being more adaptive. Shame is very different. Shame is not so much about behavior as it is an indicator of self-judgment and self-victimization. Shame is toxic. Shame does not speak to making mistakes or making a bad choice. Shame does not support learning to do things differently or adapting to feedback, but rather leads to a destructive beliefs like, I am a mistake or I am a bad person. Shame becomes a stubborn reinforcer of negative confirmation bias and self-prejudice. Shame is something that fortifies a destructive and distorted narrative that turns against yourself. Shame is a belief system that keeps you running away from a more healthy version of yourself. It is the source of repeated self-punishment, correlated to past mistakes and unresolved trauma, which fosters pain and isolation, becoming the precursor to addiction. When shame takes root in the mind, it becomes a hammer. I call it the hammer of shame, that you can beat yourself up with. Brené Brown, in her TED Talk, Listening to Shame, said that Jungian analysts call shame the swampland of the soul, and that to discuss shame, one has to learn to become vulnerable, a true act of courage. Vulnerability can transform shame. Learning to be vulnerable is easier said than done, because for much too long, vulnerability has been viewed as a sign of weakness, which is one of the great fallacies perpetuated upon humankind. Fear creates a wall around vulnerability, making it difficult to access. Being vulnerable is the opposite of weakness. Vulnerability is being open, accepting, and courageous. It allows you to accept your humanness. I make mistakes. I can learn from my mistakes, and I can take accountability for my mistakes. Taking accountability is an act of being vulnerable and accountable. Blaming our mistakes on others is ego-driven and often a victim stance. It's also a sign of being faint-hearted and fear-based, while expressing vulnerability is being full-hearted and committed to integrity. I take responsibility for what I think, what I feel, and how I behave. Because shame represents negative and fear-based beliefs, it often leads to isolation that creates a lack of connection. Disconnection promotes shame and fear. When we isolate, we create a cage, the trap that cuts us off from the ability to be vulnerable. Fear breeds contempt for self and others while forging prejudice. Fear straps you into the chair of learned helplessness, while allowing distorted core beliefs to reign supreme. Core beliefs like, I'm not good enough. I will never be happy. I'm too fat. I'm not smart enough. I can't do anything right. I am unlovable. And so on and so on. You fill in the blank. I'm not blank enough. So where do shame and fear-based beliefs originate? Shame manifests when a personal story about who you believe you are does not line up with your own personal authenticity. Though shame is the internalization of a toxic belief, the messaging may direct our attention to an external source, and then our ability to distinguish what information is true and what information has become convoluted. Much of the indoctrination into shame centers on the ability to construct a narrative. Like a movie script you wrote in partnership with your family, friends, schools, religious leaders, and the world. People become domesticated into their culture, and that culture begins with our family and expands out into our community. The story or script becomes challenged when your life experiences do not align with the nature of your story. Somewhere along the journey, we learn that there was something wrong, and that something could be us. Shame becomes the product of learned helplessness and some kind of primal wounding. Reminding yourself that your drug or behavior of choice is a symptom allows you to explore the root causes. Considering the fact that shame is a predominant ingredient for those struggling with addiction and other psychological or emotional problems, addressing shame is an important facet of changing one's narrative. In Chapter 2, I discuss the importance of recognizing that we have choices. It is shame that often hijacks one's capacity to see options or choices, because the shame narrative is so toxic. If I believe that I'm broken, bad, or a mistake, then to think otherwise is completely contrary or foreign to my nature. If I believe I'm broken, then how could I fix or change my nature? Shame is a personal saboteur that prevents objective discernment. Again, I am unable to see the cage that I have created and choose to inhabit. In addition, a strange dynamic concerning shame may happen where you find yourself drawn to people that perpetuate or reinforce your own shame-based beliefs. I see this as a bizarre act of choosing someone who can pick up your personal hammer of shame when you get tired of beating yourself up. If you are attracted and invested into shame-based beliefs, and you choose someone who is not prone to picking up the hammer for you, you will either need to train them to do it, or they will leave, not willing to buy into your role of personal punisher. Families can become proficient in the shame game, reminding you of all the problems, mistakes, and your inability to change. Words like never, always, right and wrong are stable components within shame-based family systems. This language and attitude create a polarization within a person, where shame and fear-based beliefs conflict with acceptance and compassion towards self. Here is that swampland of the soul, truly a dark and stagnant place to inhabit. The shift into a shame-based narrative is one where a person may feel lost and hopeless. It can become a depressive place that leads to self-doubt and isolation. We don't want others to see these shadows within us, because we're not supposed to think or feel this way. We are not supposed to let people see our darkness. This perpetuates that fallacy that vulnerability is a sign of weakness, which adds fuel to the cycle of shame-based beliefs. Some have been in a shame-based narrative for so long, they don't know or remember a time without those thoughts, those beliefs, or feelings. There are other social constructs that cultivate and reinforce shame. These messaging sound something like, I'm supposed to be the best partner, best worker, have a great body, be a great lover, earn the money, cook the dinner, and have all the answers while being a great host. These standards are unobtainable. These false standards keep us from accepting ourselves as we are. The irrational need to look successful and not let others see our vulnerability is an inherent makeup of the problem. The inability to be vulnerable keeps us from connecting holistically to others and fuels the shame and fear-based beliefs while prolonging the never-ending question, am I broken? The answer is simple. You're not. What you have been experiencing is the act of being domesticated into a policy of irrational and misleading beliefs based on assumptions and expectations. To break free from the cage of shame, to quiet the bully pulpit, you must learn to accept that you are much more than the act of limiting shame and fear-based beliefs that inhabit the swampland of your soul. I have a colleague, Todd Sylvester, who identifies the bully and shame-based belief systems as the root problem and the fuel that activates addictive behaviors. He sees shame-based beliefs and negative self-talk as the cage or the trap you have created to keep yourself believing something is wrong or broken within you. The truth about shame is that it is an agreement proclaiming something is wrong with you. Though this agreement is warped and biased, it perpetuates a conditioning where you see yourself as being bad or broken. You punish yourself for being a person who cannot accept your mistakes. Mistakes become a weapon instead of a natural feedback system that you can learn from. Shame becomes intoxicating by sabotaging your ability to see yourself objectively. Your problems become internalized when you don't live up to your own personal standards or the moral or standards of others. Shame is a way to marginalize people and control their behavior. Shame promotes scorekeeping of assumptions based on ill-constructed expectations. When you don't meet those expectations, you may punish yourself. At the best, these beliefs are lies you tell yourself. At a toxic level, these beliefs are a form of pathological mental self-harm. To break these self-shackled chains of shame, you must practice courage, acceptance, and forgiveness. Courage begins as an act of opening the heart. To discuss shame, we must be willing to explore vulnerability. It is the willingness to see yourself as one who is much more than your fear, shame, victim stance, and self-judgment. Courage becomes an act of listening, which requires more than repeating your negative beliefs to yourself. Courage is a willingness to open space within you so that you can take action. Courage is a willingness to accept responsibility for where you are and who you are in your life in this moment. Without acceptance, little space is available to make a personal change. You accept negative shame-based beliefs regardless of the source or where you learn them. They are now your responsibility to change, for you are the author and editor of your beliefs, your stories, and your life. When you accept the role as author of your life, you have the power to bring forth a new narrative, a new story. Acceptance is a courageous act of learning to live life on life's terms. Acceptance is living an honest and integrous life, speaking from a mantra that I am responsible for what I think, what I feel, and how I behave. This brings forth the theory that shame is self-inflicted, meaning that at some point you must have taken on those toxic beliefs. While acknowledging you have the ability to change, if you go through the process of reauthoring your narrative. Acceptance and forgiveness are two sides of the same coin. They go hand in hand. They are both acts of courage. Acceptance is acknowledging your life without bargaining for something different, while recognizing that there are things outside of your control. Acceptance is the ability to transform one's cognitive dissonance to align more directly with reality. Forgiveness is an action step where you practice empathy, understanding, and compassion. Forgiveness should not be a state of enabling, justifying, or minimizing, but an understanding that humans make mistakes, make poor choices, and have different ways of dealing with stress, anxiety, loss, and shame. I forgive others for me. Forgiveness allows me to take responsibility and practice the mantra above. I am the source of my thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Forgiveness is an act of accountability that mutes the voice of the victim stance. A victim is vested in not forgiving others, because as long as I can blame you, then I need not take responsibility for my thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Without self-forgiveness, there's little ability to reframe or rewrite the shame-based narratives that plague the mind. Without forgiveness, I remain anxious, depressed, or stressed out. Forgiveness is an excellent way to take away the neurological firestorm that empowers the victim and critic whose voices act as saboteurs of sobriety and personal well-being. Forgiveness is a universal healer, which gives you the authority to create your own path through the chaos of shame and fear. Robert Caron said, "True forgiveness isn't easy, but it transforms us. To forgive is to love and to feel worthy of love. It's always worthwhile." Self-forgiveness isn't a powerful inoculant against hopelessness and worthlessness. It is an act of self-acceptance where you choose to embrace your own humanness and practice tolerance so you can move through pain, loss, and trauma. When you disconnect and isolate from that pain and trauma, you may find yourself dependent upon substances or unhealthy behaviors to disassociate from the pain and the shame. Accepting that words can heal is important when beginning to practice living wholeheartedly. You have the capacity to be the source of your healing, and with a connection to others, provide significant support and community. Within you is the power to restore a state of sober homeostasis. There is a graphic in the book that shows the relationship between courage, acceptance, and forgiveness. Acceptance and forgiveness being integral paths of developing the courage to address shame and fear-based beliefs. Vulnerability is a sign of courage and strength, because being vulnerable is being real and showing authenticity. So in the graphic, it's a triangle. The bottom of the triangle has acceptance on one side and forgiveness on the other, both of those together leading up to courage at the top. The process of forgiveness must include forgiving oneself. When you forgive others, it reflects on an internal process of self-forgiveness. Living with authenticity and embracing your spirit are acts of vulnerability, acts of courage. Forgiving others and not living through the past moves you away from being in a victim narrative. Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements, said, "What others do has nothing to do with you. When you realize that the actions and the choices of others have nothing to do with you, but are representative of beliefs about themselves and the world, you can move into a position of accountability. When you live with personal ownership of what you think, feel, and do, you actively liberate the victim from your beliefs. When you have the realization that you have become someone who others thought you should be, you may feel that you have become someone you are not. Shame is a domestication process where you have developed a toxic cocktail of self-loathing. Forgiveness and acceptance are an elixir, an antidote that will dissolve the poison of shame and allow your heart to open. Shame is a consistent common denominator with those struggling with addiction. I have noticed certain communities where theological or personal dogma are strong, where black and white and concrete thinking add to the percentages of people affected by shame and addiction. In the first chapter of this book, How We Got Here, I explained how being religious may be an influence on the development of shame-based belief narratives. I find the same outcomes with the lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, and queer community, or LGBTQ. LGBTQ populations everywhere struggle with substance abuse and co-occurring mental health conditions at a rate higher than the general population. This means LGBT communities have additional challenges where bias, prejudice, and bigotry are woven into an ideology of discrimination. Aspects of modern culture propagate drug and alcohol abuse, along with other high-risk behaviors, as a means to self-medicate the feelings of being different. Based on race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation or identity, people are being told they are not normal or that something is wrong with them, which becomes the tenets of shame. There is no evidence that suggests the LGBT community is more predisposed to greater dependence or patterns of substance abuse than the general population. This leads to a rational assumption that LGBT community members experience a higher rate of substance abuse and depression as the result of stigmatized social status, anxiety about coming out, feelings of being different, and alienation that leads to a toxic dose of shame. These constructs explain higher substance abuse rates among LGBTQ people, where the people may use unhealthy coping skills and life skills to handle the pressures of homo, bi, and transphobia. I can see the correlation that drugs and alcohol are a symptom of underlying shame and fear-based beliefs of a person who hears messages over and over again that something is wrong with them, that they are sinners, that God doesn't love them. These revelations about shame and its formation offer further understanding how the drug or behavior of choice becomes a method in which people learn to cope with their shame and fear-based beliefs. Creating community and fellowship develops a natural climate of openness and acceptance towards unifying people with different backgrounds, sexual orientations, faith, and races. But there are challenges as some in recovery struggle to be tolerant, compassionate, and accepting of those who may be different from them. That is why it's important to learn to be vulnerable with others, including finding tolerance and acceptance in your heart. It's healthier to focus on the similarities you have in common instead of the small differences that separate us. While writing this book, I saw how humanity puts their professed differences aside to help their fellow human beings, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, political beliefs, or theological dogma. Natural disasters have a way of bringing the fellowship and community of human beings together in a common purpose. A natural disaster can be a shared experience that unites people from diverse backgrounds and brings out the ability to practice tolerance and empathy. There are different ways to connect to a community, and I find it fascinating to watch clients go through the process of learning to accept and often forgive themselves while doing the same for others around them. This regularly leads to self-examination of one's belief systems, including the bias and intolerances they may have towards one another. I have a personal goal: to create a positive and supportive community that is tolerant and accepting of all people, regardless of race, ethnicity, theological affiliation, color, gender orientation, or sexual orientation. I realize there are differences between belief systems, ideals, and worldviews, which foster positions that may look unbridgeable. But instead of focusing on differences, I believe it's better to support clients and find what they have in common. In the recovery community, the single focus of working to become abstinent from drugs and alcohol is a common goal and path that a diverse population can often share. But abstinence is not ultimately a definer of sobriety for everyone. This is a challenge the recovery community needs to address to avoid bias and discrimination. The story of your life may be crowded with events you perceive as wrongful or traumatic. As a human being, fallible and courageous, you learn to discern the nature of your psychic distress. You enter a transpersonal state of self-healing, where you express the courage within, allowing you to build trust of your feelings, your process, and your journey. Give yourself the opportunity to create healthy connections with others. Learn to live with the past. Accept it as part of your history, while remaining mindful that your past does not define who you are. You learn through acceptance and forgiveness to transcend loss, abandonment, and shame. You learn that your past is only part of your story, and that you have full authority to rewrite your narrative as you see fit. It is your story, and you get to write whatever you want. The choice is up to you. When you ignore or deny this ability, you are sabotaging your freedom while reinforcing the victim narrative. Now it is time to claim your authenticity and share your courage to be vulnerable with others. Now is time to let others know who you are and live in the present. It is time to accept your greatness while finding humbleness and to remember what you have learned and how you got here. You are more resilient than you may know because you have made it this far. Keep going. There is more to experience and learn.